Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with...
Todd Rex. Hi!
Todd Rex.
T-Rex, whatever.
T-Rex. Big week this week. We have a great bunch of guests. We have Matt Brown, the Immortal, who's on a 6-fight winning streak. Just called out GSP. We're going to talk to him. Jessica Penn, the former Adam Waite Invicta champion, just came across. Oh, well, she actually had a victory, but before that, a great battle with the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. We'll talk to her, and she's got beautiful pictures out right now that Tracy Lee took of her butt. We're going to talk about those amazing pictures. This week, let's just get into it. 164, Bendo versus Pettis, the rematch. Everyone knows it was the kick.
The kick heard around the world
in the last WEC event. Man, this is going to be a tough fight. You know, I like both these guys. I'm leaning towards Ben Henderson.
I agree.
Just because, like I said before, he walks around as Chloe. He weighs in a Kim. I just think he's bigger, whereas Pettis can make 145. Bendo's walking around about 190, 200 pounds. He's a huge guy, gets down to 155. And then, I don't know, since their first fight, I feel like they've both progressed. Granted, in the victories that Pettis had, he's looked better, whereas Bendo's beaten some great guys, as in Frankie Edgar, as in Gilbert Melendez, but they've been close fights, very close fights. You could argue that I thought Edgar won the second fight, and some people think Melendez won, whereas Pettis has just dominated Lozon and the Cowboy. He did lose to Clay Guida. I mean, so... it's going to be tough. It's a tough fight. It's one of those things also, I think that the UFC factor, I think that I just feel like Bendo's got it a little better. Yeah. I mean,
he's not going to let that happen again. That's like the one thing on his resume that he really hates.
The kick?
The kick.
Yeah, who would want that on their resume?
Right. But I'm saying, like, and he's using that as fuel to get better and he's going to avenge that loss.
And he's so hard to submit. I mean, the Cowboy had him in so many different submissions. It's like, and the guy found Jesus, which I think, I don't know if he found Jesus or he always had Jesus, but if you follow his Twitter, he's very spiritual. And sometimes those guys who become very spiritual are like, something takes over them. Like, look at like Vitor Belfort now. And I remember there was a boxer named Angel Man Freddy.
I remember that guy.
Who was actually worse when he found Jesus? He was the disciple. First, he was the devil, and he was amazing. And then he became the disciple, and he started losing and not caring. That happens sometimes too. Other times, people go the other way.
Right, you start realizing that, hey, you know, through the word of Christ, none of this really matters.
None of this really matters. It's all a bigger
like my ass beat doesn't really matter.
It becomes like Jobu in Major League Two, you know. But for some reason, I'm thinking that I don't know. I don't think that Henderson's going to keep the fight standing this time. I think he's just going to grind them out. He's going to use the Clay Guida approach. The fight's also in Milwaukee, which is Pettis' hometown. And that could be a very...
Duke Rufus.
That could be a disadvantage because you got... First of all, he has his kid he has to worry about. He has his wife there or his girlfriend. I don't know if he's married or what the deal is. You have all those people coming in. You have all the, hey, man, get me
pressure,
tickets.
Right.
Hey, man, can I come to the fight? Hey, man, blah, blah. Sometimes it's better to be away from everybody.
Right.
You know, fighting in your hometown, whereas it could fuel you, like, you know, GSP who seems to fight in his hometown. It could also, I just even know just from my comedy shows, when people want tickets from me, when I do shows around town, it's a pain in the butt. Right. Hey man, get me tickets. Hey man, put me on the guest list.
I just went through that in Vegas this past weekend. It wasn't even my show. When I'm there, it's hard to get my friends to come out to see me. But
when Russell Peters comes,
but then it's Russell Peters, and everybody's like, "Hey man, can I get 2 tickets?"
Oh,
really?
It's annoying. In fact, when my buddy Connor Hune used to fight, I would not ask him for tickets because I'm his friend. I don't want to bother him. I was saying with Mayhem used to fight, I wouldn't ask him for tickets. I'd be like, "Go ahead, dude. Right. I'm your friend. I'll buy tickets." You know.
Right.
But other people, "Hey man, it's gonna be a great fight. It's gonna be a great fight. I can't wait for that fight." Other good fights on that card: Frank Mir versus Josh Barnett. That's a very interesting fight. Yeah. I know you're good friends with Josh Barnett. Yep. I mean, you guys hang out.
I was just texting him. He's on a plane right now, taxiing.
Josh Barnett like?
He's a very funny guy, super intelligent, super smart. One of the smartest people I know, probably.
Like when I had a pilot that you had him on,
right?
And he is like, when I met him, he was the most straight faced. You never know when he's kidding.
Right.
He says the most outlandish things, with a very straight face, and you're like, "What?" You almost have to like put. Did I just hear that come out of his mouth? And seemed like a nice guy though.
Nice guy.
But he looks. I mean, I asked him. I go, "What was it like when you beat Randy Couture?" He's like, I punched him and I just heard his spirit breaking out of his. I'm like, dude, that's a bad man. Do that to Randy Couture. Right. Josh Barnett, if you look at Josh Barnett's resume, he has 6 losses, 3 of them are to Crow Cop. And he's fought, I mean, there's a guy who may be the most underrated fighter out there. Like, Josh Barnett is just, he's fought a who's who of fighters. And
he's a beast.
He's a beast. It just, you know, it's a guy who's also, he's taken down fighters and promotions.
Affliction.
He took down Affliction by himself. I mean, too bad he couldn't get all the guys wearing Affliction to take those off. But, you know, but Barnett, if he hadn't been, you know, plagued with the whole drug, you know, this whole steroid thing, you wonder how good. I mean, he's 36 years old. He's been through a lot. His body has, I mean, between pro wrestling and fighting,
right?
You wonder how much he has left.
I think he has a lot left.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. He's a maniac, man. He's a wild dude. He's at, you know, I was at World Series of Fighting 4 a few weeks ago, and he was there hanging out and getting a lot of autographs, and he looked like he's in incredible shape.
Yeah.
And he just looks like a dude not to be messed with. He was wearing his leather jacket with his mohawk or faux hawk.
Yeah, no, he's a bad dude. Yeah. He's a dude
he's got boundless energy, and he's...
Yeah, no, he seemed like a real nice guy.
Yeah, he's silly. I mean, when we talk, we laugh the whole time.
He seems like a funny guy. Yeah. He's fighting Frank Mir, who's no pushover.
He's a beast himself.
Mir's coming off 2 losses. He's coming off a loss to, the 2 losses he's coming off to are to Cormier and to Dos Santos. You know, Frank Mir, when I met him, when I worked with him at the MMA Awards, he literally had a knife around his neck. We're walking around. We were doing a sketch in like the Palms. And I'm like, "Bro, is there a jungle that we're going to?" You know, but he seemed like a real nice guy, very serious, very intense.
Yeah.
And you know, there's 2 Frank Mirs. After Mir lost to Brock Lesnar, you know, which was very humiliating for him because Mir, you know, they had a lot of crap talk back and forth, and Brock kind of put him in like a schoolyard headlock and just pounded him away, and then went crazy afterwards and started. You know, we all remember that speech he made, and you know, "I took the lucky horseshoe and threw it up his ass." You know, all that, everything he said, you know, about that. But he then, Mir, who at the time I think was probably in his early 30s, gained like 40 pounds of muscle, and I'm not sure if he admitted to taking TRT or what. Some people say he had or he had not, but you wonder if after that weight training, it almost was detrimental to his body because it didn't seem very natural to gain. It's like he became obsessed with Brock Lesnar, and he's like, "I'm just gonna do whatever I can
to be that size,
to be that size, and to beat Brock Lesnar."
Right.
But you wonder if his body sort of has been breaking down because of that weight. Because if you look at his
that was after the motorcycle accident, right?
Yeah, but after the motorcycle accident, it was when he came back to fight Chet Congo. He
looked
huge,
completely different, right?
Huge. I mean, and then he ended up losing the car win after that, and then he beat Big Nog, and you know, had that crazy submission win. It's gonna be a good fight. I'm picking Barnett in this fight.
Yeah.
Just because.
Me too.
Yeah, because you're friends with him.
And because I think he has what it takes to beat him too. I mean, I don't think that Frank Mir can do to Josh what Cormier did.
Yeah. Which is out wrestle him.
Right, and short of that, it's going to be kind of hard to beat this guy.
Yeah, I mean I don't think it's going to go to the ground. I don't think Mir's going to want to take it to the ground.
No.
I don't think Barnett was going to want to take him to the ground with Mir. I think Barnett beats him standing.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to pick him apart standing. It's going to be a good fight. You know, you wonder if this fight would have been taking place 10 years ago, you know, how great of a fight this would be.
Right.
But still a good fight. Yeah. Still a good fight. What else is there's also a couple other fights coming on. Clay Guida versus Chad Mendez. Also going to be a great fight.
There's going to be a lot of energy in that fight.
Team Alpha Male has not lost since Dwayne Ludwig.
Dwayne Pang.
And Dwayne Ludwig actually admits that he watches tape of Team Alpha Male, gets stoned, watches tape again, and finds things.
Right.
It's kind of
what I did with music back in
the 90s. Yeah, Team Alpha Male has become Pink Floyd's The Wall, you know?
Right.
But, you know, I think that Chad Money Mendez wins this fight. Clay Guida, you know, another guy, he wins fights that I think he's going to lose. He loses fight he thinks he's going to win. I didn't think he was going to beat Pettis. He beat Gomi. His last couple fights, people have been upset because he's
all that dancing around and jerky.
Sort of been running a little bit. It started with the Gray Maynard fight.
And that fight actually pissed me off too. Like I felt bad for Gray because Gray was like, "Engage, you son of a."
Yeah, yeah. They almost fought again in the locker room. There's actually a YouTube clip of Clay's brother. What's his name? His older brother who smacks him in the head, Jason Guida.
Jason, the drywaller Guida.
And fighting with, yeah. I actually met Clay at metal school.
Yeah.
And I was like, Clay Guida. I was telling him about MMA Roasted and how I roast him. One of the nicest guys ever. Like, and so was Chad, called in a couple weeks ago. So I nobody I'm rooting for in this fight. Clay, when I'm telling you, I mean, supports wrestling, great guy, will talk to anybody. Most down-to-earth human being I think I've met in a long time. That being said, it's funny because when I met Greg Jackson when he first signed Clay Guida, I said, "Hey man, so what's the deal with Guida?" Like, and Greg Jackson told me, "I cannot believe how far this guy has come with the amount of little skill that he has." And he wasn't insulting him.
Right.
He was saying, like, this guy is winning fights with no technique.
Just sheer determination.
Which is something amazing, I mean, right, to be said. The fact that, like, he was beating ranked guys in the world, top 10
double,
guys in the world.
Double hammer fists.
With
remember that? I've seen him like...
Oh, with energy. I mean, he was basically... He was not a great wrestler. Good wrestler, but not a great wrestler. But just... energy, tenacity, determinedness. I mean, the guy...
Determinedness?
It's not a real word, but thank you for pointing that out. Determination. Determinus is a cool one. All right, I said determinus. Really dumb. Okay, I get it. Determinness is my new word.
Nice.
I am determinous to make this a good podcast. But so it's amazing how far he has come with the limited amount of technique. But now with Greg Jackson, you wonder, did Greg Jackson... make him too much of a... did he take away what made Clay exciting?
Right.
And make him raw. You know, that was what kind of made him exciting, was that everybody could relate to this Captain Caveman.
Maniac.
Fourth guy on the evolutionary scale. You know, guy. But
I was going to say number three, but number four.
Number so, it's going to be a good fight. I think Mendez wins this. I don't know how he's going to win this. You know, because I don't see Clay getting knocked out. He can be submitted. Kenny Florian submitted him. This Chad Mendez doesn't have the same jiu-jitsu caliber that Kenny Florian had. So I don't know. I don't know how he wins this fight. It's gonna be good. Ben Rothwell is taking on Brandon Vera. Should be a good fight. Rothwell has been, you know, he's been winning and losing. His last victory was over Schaub. Vera's coming off a loss to Shogun. How does this fight go down? Rothwell is now taking TRT. He's admitting it. And that might be the big help, because Rothwell...
He's already gigantic.
He's already gigantic, but he's not exactly ripped, you know? you know, he's sort of on the Roy Nelson Precious diet.
That's hilarious.
And now, I'm a fan of Ben Rothwell. I thought after... I used to watch him in the IFC when he beat Roy Nelson. I thought he was going to be a more of an impact in the heavyweight division. I gotta admit...
I did too.
You know, he got obliterated by Cain Velasquez. That was like... one of the worst beatings I've ever seen in my life, and then he beat Gilbert Ivel, then he lost to Mark Hunt, and then he beat Schaub, and now he lost to Gonzaga. It's sort of going back and forth. You know, maybe TRT is the answer. You know, Rothwell definitely looks like he could you know. Go on the Dolce diet,
or a few sit-ups here and there.
A few sit-ups, or even just, you know, say the words to sit-up, right. But
and not sit up to the table. And
exactly. All right. So MMA news. Let's go into this. Misha Tate says that 9 out of 10 times women are better than men at MMA. She also failed math, but now I'm a Misha Tate fan. I think, but I don't think that 9 out of 10 times women in MMA are better than men.
Well, one out of one time, I'll disagree with that.
yeah. I mean, look, I will watch any fight, whether it be man, female, transgender. Okay, I'll watch it.
Shout out to Fallon Fox.
I will watch it. If it's on my TV, I'll watch it. I'll watch it if it's in my backyard. When I was in third grade, I used to stay outside every day after elementary school to watch the fights. And I would put up a little chair and do commentary. All right, that second part's a lie. But I'm a huge fight fan. But 9 out of 10, I mean, come on. I mean, that's just Misha Tate's, I think, one of those girls that, like...
That is a ridiculous
claim. Sometimes you get these really cute girls with beautiful butts that people just, like, that men just agree. Because they don't want to say no. So they'll be like, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
She has a big hiney. I agree.
Sure. Absolutely. 9 out of 10 times. And then they walk away, and guys are like, what is she? I don't know. You know, but so... Right. But I don't think that's true. But, you know, look, if that's...
Is she talking about per capita?
I don't know what she's talking about. Another thing, Vitor Belfort says he doesn't fight in Brazil because of the TRT. You know, there's a whole thing on conspiracy, and which Dana White has said it's not true, that Belfort only fights in Brazil because he's not allowed to fight anywhere else due to him failing a steroid test over in Pride, and he won't get a TRT exemption. But in Brazil, they're very slack. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I'm not the... One can only speculate. And it does seem kind of weird that every fight he has is in Brazil.
Since he lost to Anderson...
Yeah.
He came back the next time. He looked like Brian Bosworth. Mohawk, and he's ripped up and just amped up like... Rah!
Yeah, it is kind of weird to go through puberty at 37. but he's huge. I mean, yeah. And he says, but according to him, he has... they say that like... One out of every 400,000 people need TRT. There's no way they're all 180 pounds in the UFC. they're all 185. So everybody, I mean, come on. Right. That's sort of a little, it does, you know, I think either make it legal for everybody or not. These, like, doctor's notes are a little bit suspicious. I mean, I live in California where if you go to a marijuana doctor, right, and say, I have trouble sleeping, they'll give you a prescription. And it seems like these are the same doctors that are giving out TRT. Like, my doctor had a ponytail and a
tie-dye shirt on. Birkenstocks.
You know, and a certificate from University of Phoenix Online. I mean, come on. These doctors seem a little shady. Anyway, right now we are going to call Matt Brown, the immortal, coming off a victory over Mike Pyle.
Downtown Matt Brown.
Looking amazing. Let's call him right now.
Hello,
is this Matt Brown?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Adam Hunter and Todd Rex. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
What up?
How's it going, Tuss?
How's it going, man? How's everything?
Real good.
Everything's lovely in the world of Matt Brown right about now.
Congrats on your recent victory over Mike Pyle.
Thank you.
That was amazing. I mean, is that how you saw the fight going?
No, absolutely not. you know, Mike Powell's a hell of a good fighter, man. You know, just sometimes it happens, you know. But, no, I didn't see it going that way at all. I thought it was going to be a back-and-forth battle. I thought I was going to have to, you know, really suck it up and pull out, you know, a tough fight, you know.
Yeah, no, that was I was shocked. I had money on Pyle, so thank you. No, I'm just kidding. now, Brown, you're on a 6-fight winning streak. You know, probably one of the best winning streak in the UFC right now. Who do you want to fight next?
I don't have anything in mind. Just whatever they throw my way. I mean, it's more up to Joe Silva than me, I guess.
What do you think about Nick Diaz?
Sure.
After your fight against Pyle, you called out GSP, and then last week you said you had better wrestling than GSP. Would you like to expand on those comments?
I don't really know what to expand on. It's pretty much that's what I said. I don't know.
It is what it is. What
I, yeah, I mean, it's. I know a lot of people, you know, think that's crazy, but it's whatever. They can, you know, if I would have said 2 years ago I was going to go on a 6-5 win streak, people would have said I was crazy too, right?
Yeah, no, I think you might have said you were crazy. But
I think, well, I always believe in myself at least.
Yeah, no, I always believed in you too, man. You've actually, you're a very amazing story, man. I mean, you're very, it's pretty amazing, like, what you've gone through, when you actually, you know, you came over a heroin addiction and actually died, correct?
Yeah, it wasn't actually an addiction. I wasn't addicted to heroin. I just did too much one
just
time.
Just did it all the time?
Not all the time. I actually did, like, I liked uppers a lot better, so... Back then, I did a lot more coke, meth, stuff like that. But,
holy smokes!
Now, what was
heroin?
What was the thing that got you into drugs, and then what else, and what made you quit?
It's kind of hard to say what really got me into it. I mean, I guess it was just more. You know, I was just young, naive, wanting to party. You know, didn't really realize what I was doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like one certain thing that got me into it, you know what I mean? It was just kind of natural flow of life for me at that time, I guess.
But were you taking drugs while training?
I took drugs in my first couple of fights, but I wasn't training.
Wow!
Right, and then what? Like, I have family members that have been addicted to heroin, I'm not saying you were addicted to heroin, but they say it's probably the hardest thing to kick in like the whole world is getting off heroin. Did you find that to be true?
Well, like I said, I never really got addicted to the heroin, but I was addicted to meth for a while, and that was probably the hardest thing. It fucked me up pretty bad, you know what I mean, trying to come off.
Yeah.
But I ended up quitting because I went to jail, so I didn't have access to it. You know what I mean?
How long were you in jail for?
I don't know. I've been to jail like 20 or 30 times, man. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Wow.
It wasn't like prison or anything, but...
What was the longest that you were in jail for?
The longest, well, I got sentenced to 6 months once, and I did like 90 days though.
Wow.
I think that was the longest.
Did anybody try to test you in jail?
Oh yeah. But you know, I was in the county jail, you know what I mean? So like the county jail, there's not really a whole lot of fights.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like most of the people, like 90% of them, you know, just want to get the fuck out of there as much as you do. You know what I mean? They don't want to end up with a 1-year sentence.
Over a stupid scrap.
You know what I mean? For when they were sentenced to 30 days and then they get an assault and end up for a year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Most of everybody's just trying to get the fuck out of there.
So did you ever knock out someone in jail and then call out GSP?
No, but I did it in a cage once.
No, we got to talk about that because, you know, GSP obviously has the best wrestling in the UFC. I mean, a lot, according to Ben Askren, he does. But now some of the guys that you're training with over at Ohio State are Olympic level wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
And you're taking these guys down in practice? Is that why you think that you could take GSP?
Well, we don't really talk about what goes on in the training room, you know, but, you know, I learn from them. I work with them. You know, they take me down. I take them down. They definitely take me down more than I take them down, you know. I mean, that's what they do. They're fucking good at it, you know. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, give away too much, right?
Right. But now take me through the GSP fight, okay? So let's say... well, first of all, how do you see the GSP Hendricks fight going down?
Man, that's a tough one, you know. I think a lot of it's going to come Hendricks' own preparation, you know. I think it, to me, that's going to be the biggest factor, you know. I think Hendricks could definitely take out GSP, but he's got to be properly prepared, you know. I think Hendricks could out wrestle GSP also. If he's training his wrestling with the right guys and, you know, training properly. And but, you know, I don't know how he trains, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he called into the podcast and said that every time GSP is going to try to throw the jab, he's going to counter with the left hook and then go for a double leg.
All right. I guess now everybody knows his game plan.
You know, that was kind of a weird thing to call in and tell me, but I was like, all right, if that's what he's gonna do, that's what you're gonna do. So, but let's say GSP beats Hendricks and then goes, you know what, I want Matt Brown, right? He goes, Matt Brown, you're the immortal, you say you beat up five guys in jail, okay, I want Matt Brown, all right? So how does the Matt Brown GSP fight go down?
I knock him out
first round.
He's pretty good at, you know, staying away. Maybe second or third round.
Second or third round knockout. You knock him out, and then what happens? Do you then like then you take the microphone, and then who do you call out? Do you call out Silva or Weidman after that, or?
Yeah, I don't know. That might be jumping a little bit ahead, but I'll fight whoever. You know what I mean? It's not. I didn't get in this game to pick and choose fights.
Right.
You know, I just wanted the GSP fight because, you know, he's got the title and, you know, he's kind of an annoying guy. And I'm a bad matchup for him.
Well, so. Wait, why is he annoying?
I don't know. Just the way he talks, I guess. I'm sure he's a perfectly fine guy, you know, but I don't know. I'm a hillbilly, man. You know, it's not really my thing.
I totally understand. You joined the UFC. You lose five out of your first nine fights. You lost to Brian Foster.
Or you could say I won four out of my first nine.
Okay, or you won your first four.
Come on.
It's all about how you look at it.
How you look at it, right? Yeah. The glass is half empty in my world. All right, so you fight. You lose to Foster, Amida, and Lytle. Do you think you're getting cut after that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was confident I was getting cut.
Now then you go on, and after you lose to somebody, and then Seth Podinsky, you go on and win six fights in a row. What clicked?
It wasn't just like one thing. You know, like I don't want to make excuses for my losses, you know, but there was reasons why I lost beyond just skill set and things like that. You know, I don't believe I was fighting up to my potential, and I believe I've been fighting closer to my potential. I still don't think I've reached my full potential, but I think, you know, I've been fighting a lot closer and, you know, taking care of things a little better in the cage. I mean, that's about all it comes down to, is just, you know, execution and, you know, being properly prepared. You know, it wasn't necessarily, you know, a lack of anything as much as just, you know, missing out on certain things that I wasn't taking care of.
Now, were you upset when you knocked out Pyle because he has a mullet and you're from Ohio and mullets are in style there?
I didn't know mullets were in style here, but that's okay. you know, to be honest, I was a little upset only because he is my buddy.
Yeah.
You know, like we've hung out before and stuff, and I don't know. I felt like I didn't give him a chance, you know what I mean? Which, you know, he'd do the same to me, and, you know, I'd do it to anybody. But
did you go out and have a drink with him after the fight?
No, I didn't drink after the fight, but we hung out a little bit and chatted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now he's Pyle's one of the nicest guys I know. I was kind of bummed because, like, you know, he's also a guy that was on like a 4 or 5 fight winning streak, you know, so it was sort of a great matchup, especially on like paper. I was shocked, but you know, I think, you know, you did a great job. Now what did you do with the fight of the night or knockout of the night bonuses that you've been winning?
Paid fucking taxes.
Jeez, keeping Uncle Sam on the
back. Exactly. No, I haven't really done anything yet. I still haven't really done much with my last one.
But you're married with kids, right? You have twin boys?
Yeah.
You treat them well? Like you can tell them to go out and splurge a little bit or get them stuff that they've been wanting or take them someplace that they've been wanting to go?
I mean, I try to treat them well.
Now, you know what I mean? Now, if your sons grew up and said, I want to be fighters, would you let them?
For sure. I mean, I'll let them be anything they want to be. You know, as long as it's not a ballet dancer or something like that. You
what
know?
If they wanted to be a transgender fighter like Fallon Fox?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got good news and bad news. I want to be a fighter.
Don't get him suspended. The last thing Matt Brown needs right now is suspended.
Yeah, scratch that question.
People will kill us. All right. Now, how hurt were you in the Jordan Main fight?
Oh, with the body shot?
Yeah.
Very hurt.
Wow.
You are a man of short answers.
Very. How hurt were you? Very hurt.
No, but honestly, Brown, Matt, you really are an inspiration because, I mean, I honestly, what I do now is I go to the meth clinics and show them pictures of you. And I'm like, look, guys, if you guys get your stuff together, you too could be a UFC fighter. I don't actually do that, but I'm telling you, I mean, you've come such a, I mean, you have to look at your life and be like, you're like a lifestyle, a lifetime movie network channel. I mean, you've got to look at yourself and say, oh my God, like from where I was to overdosing.
Did you really like literally almost die or you died for a few minutes? What's the story?
You were pronounced dead for 8 minutes, right?
It wasn't 8 minutes, but it was for some amount of time.
Have you ever talked to Corey? Like,
I don't think they ever actually pronounced me dead. Like the doctor just, or not the doctor, the nurse, whatever, just told me they were like,
flat
like, yeah, you're pretty much dead there for a minute.
Wow. Same thing happened with Court McGee.
Yeah, I heard about that.
You guys don't have like my death with better than your death stories or competition?
They should fight each other called a death match.
Yeah, this one, the Brown versus Court death match. So I mean, you beat 6 guys in a row, yet you're still, I think you're ranked number 11. Don't you feel like you should be ranked higher?
Ranked number 10, man.
Oh, you're ranked number 10. But still, don't you think you should rank higher than 10?
Oh, man, I don't know. You know, it's just all subjective, you know? You know, like the number 20 guy could come in and beat, you know, the number 2 guy. You know what I mean? It's like, MMA is a crazy sport, man. It's hard to rank people, you know?
Yeah.
It's never right, you know? There's no way for it to really be what it's supposed to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, look at Robbie Lawler and Koscheck.
Yeah, right.
Who do you like? Do you like Lawler or McDonald?
I don't know, man. I didn't watch Lawler's last fight. I think you said it was Koscheck, right?
Yeah, no, he beat Koscheck, and then he went out and beat beat your guy, the guy that you were sponsored, Volker, right? Didn't he beat Volker?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, the guy that beat Volker in Strikeforce, Lawler just beat. Bowling?
Oh, Roger Bowling.
Yeah.
Oh, Roger Bowling?
Yeah.
He fought Robbie Lawler?
Yeah, I think so. Who was Lawler's last fight? It was either Volker or Bowling, but But yeah, Robbie Lawler won.
Well, yeah, anyway, I haven't really watched Lawler's fights. Just whenever they're on, I just didn't happen to watch that card, you know what I mean? So I don't really know where he's at. I don't know what he's doing. I watched McDonald's last fight. Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good.
Bobby Volker. He knocked out Bobby Volker with a head kick in 24 seconds.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I don't know who Bobby Volker is. That's cool, though. Yeah. I don't know. It should be a good fight, man, him and McDonald. I don't see where, you know what I mean? Lawler's been around a long time. I'm sure he knows how to fight pretty good. So.
Yeah, have you ever thought about becoming a talk show host?
That's kind of that wasn't really my first career choice after fighting, but
the Matt Brown show. I think it's great. The Matt audience asks you a question, you answer with one word and then look very angry at the guy, and then no one asks you any more questions. I think that's a great show.
I'm like, yeah, you only got to watch it for 2 minutes and you get all the information.
Now, you and your wife recently went on a second honeymoon or something.
It was an anniversary, 1 year anniversary. She likes to call it the honeymoon because we never went on a actual honeymoon. So,
where did you guys go?
Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Wow.
Which is
hopeless romantic. You.
Yeah, it was cool. I don't know if you've ever been to Gatlinburg or heard of it, whatever. You know, it's like a little tourist town down there in the Smoky Mountains. So.
Oh, nice.
It was a good time, man.
Now did your wife's parents, now when you told them that you were a fighter, did they look at you like you were crazy?
They was like, oh, you fighting the WWF or something?
WWF, that's hilarious.
No, they're actually really cool about it. They're real supportive and, you know, they're real good people, so it works out.
Now that you're winning money and...
Now
it's all cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And before, maybe, you know, if I wasn't making money, they probably wouldn't be so happy about it.
Now, how has Matt Hume helped you?
He helped me a ton, man. You know, I lived out there for like a year. And, yeah, man, I learned probably more in that year than any other year in my life.
Nice. Who are some of the guys that you're training with now?
Well, my coaches are Carlos Carvalho for jiu-jitsu, Mark Beecher's my longtime Muay Thai coach. Scott Sheely's been my head coach for a long time. You know, the training partners, not really like famous guys you probably haven't really heard of, but guys that you probably will hear of in the future.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, Matt, I gotta say, man, I've been really impressed, and you know, seems like you're a guy that, like, it's really easy to root for. You've come a long way. I have to say, when like you lost those three fights, I was like, ah, man, because I was a big fan of yours on The Ultimate Fighter. I thought you were a little crazy, but but you know, those reality shows can make people look a little crazier than they actually are.
You gotta be a little crazy, right?
Yeah, you gotta be a little crazy. And then when you beat Matt Riddle, all was forgiven. I gotta say,
I never fought Matt Riddle.
Oh, good. I think maybe I was the one stoned during that. But who did you beat on that show? You beat someone that
I beat Josh Hall, Jeremy May, and then lost to Amir Sadala.
Right.
Who went on to win that season?
Sadala won that season. He beat CB Dalloway in the finals. Mm-hmm. But I think out of all those guys, you're the most successful.
I hope so.
Do you still keep in contact with those guys?
You know, me and Amir actually kept in contact for a while. Haven't really talked to him in a little while since. Matt Riddle actually had twins right around the same time I had twins. He had girls and we had boys, so his wife and my wife are friends.
Oh, nice.
And they keep in contact. So, which brings me and Riddle together sometimes. But we always kind of kept our distance a little bit. Like, we were supposed to fight a couple of times, you know. Like, he got hurt and, you know, different things. So, But now he's not in the UFC. I don't think he'll be back. So
it's funny. Whenever I make a Matt Riddle joke on Twitter, Lisa Riddle retweets it. His wife.
That's awesome.
And then whenever I make a Randy Couture joke, his ex-wife, Kim. Kimmy Couture, retweets it. And then a Vinny Magalese joke, Ali Magalese. All the wives always retweet the jokes I make about the husbands.
Nice. Well, I never seen their jokes about me, so...
I did. I said when you said you had better wrestling than GSP, obviously people are concerned you're back on drugs.
That's rough, man.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't... thanks. Thanks. You asked me to tell a joke about you, I do, and you go, that's rough. Thanks a lot.
I'm sure the wife will get a kick out of it.
Well, man, I hope you beat GSP, Matt Brown. I really do. And I am totally rooting for you. Thanks for calling into the podcast. Thanks for being a good sport. And let me know if any jokes I make offend you. Please DM me so I will take them down immediately.
Really?
No.
That's kind of weak, man.
I won't. I will stand my ground. But hey, man, thanks for your support, man. And I'm really looking forward to your next fight, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, brother. Be good, man.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know what? Matt Brown's a cool dude. Scary dude, though. Yeah. Matt Brown's like one of those like pit bulls that you have that you never know really where you're at with him.
Right. Like yeah, everything seems cool, but then they'll like kind of stare at you for a second. Yeah. Like, is this thing about to bite the crap out of me?
Yeah. It's exactly right. Right. I'm a Matt Brown fan. I don't know if he beats GSP, but I would watch that fight in a heartbeat. You know. Yeah. You got to root for a guy like that. Like, I mean, it's like meth couldn't take
started
him.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, 20 times he's been arrested. Look at that, 20 Jesus. Times? 20 times.
I'm black and I've never been arrested that many times.
Have you been arrested at all?
Yeah.
For what?
I got in a fight in Georgetown one time. Two guys were jumping one guy and I jumped in and tried to even the odds and the cops came and arrested everybody. And the one guy that was getting beat up by the two dudes, they threw him in the back of a police car. And then they just threw me handcuffed in the back of the paddy wagon with the other two dudes. And so I thought it was going to be like a brawl in there. They were like, what are you doing in here? They didn't even know that was me that jumped in.
Oh, my God.
Thank God.
How long did you go to jail for?
I mean, I was only in there for a few hours.
Yeah.
And the guys that I...
Was Matt Brown in there when you were there?
He was. And that's... the guys that I was actually fighting against... the cops like pretty much strong-armed us. They were like, if all y'all give us $50, you can get out right now.
Oh, God.
And I didn't have $50. And so the dude was like, the two dudes that were like, well, we feel sorry that you got caught up in this, so we'll pay your $50. So they paid me $50 and then drove me home.
I actually joined I joined an MMA gym this week.
Did you really?
I joined Judo Gene LaBelle's and
Judo Gene.
He was there. He was teaching the class.
Really?
Last night, I'm in class. Manny Gambarian's there. I asked him about his fight with Cole Miller. Right. I asked him how hurt he was. He said he was definitely hurt. He was mad, still angry about getting hit in the back of the head.
Right.
And Cole's mad because he thought that fight should have been stopped, which is interesting. But it was crazy seeing Judo Gene, the guy. I don't know how old he is. It's got to be in his 80s.
Be 80, yeah.
And he's still teaching.
And he's
everything.
Funny as hell.
And I go up to him. I go, Judo Gene, I'm a big fan. He goes, lose some weight, you'll be a small fan. I was like, this guy's the best.
He's hilarious.
I was like, it's so fun. Like, how funny is that? Lose some weight, you'll be a small fan. I thought that was amazing. Judo Gene is like, what an inspiration.
You see him in Reno 911 Miami?
No.
Yeah, he was in that movie too. And like, broke into some hooker's house or whatever, and the cops are in there, and you just see him fly out the front door on like one of those Razor scooters, and he's like, he's in his underwear, Judo Gene LaBelle, as he's flying down the sidewalk, and he's like, you'll never catch me, bitches.
Oh, that is so funny.
In his tighty whities.
I like how he made Steven Seagal crap his pants. That's the greatest. You heard about that, right?
Of course. And if you ask him about it, he'll be like, he won't comment on it. He'll be like, Steven Seagal is a great martial artist and a fantastic actor.
No, it was the funniest thing, because they go, I'm in class, they go, does anybody have any questions? It's my first day, and I wanted to be like, yeah, did you really make Steven Seagal grab his pants? but I knew that they would look at me like I was, maybe they might throw me out of the class for asking that question the first day. Oh, that's awesome.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, no, Judo Gene's is a character, but I was, you know, it's great to see a guy like that, you know, a legend there. And then teaching, it's like, $20. I could take a class with Julie Jean LaBelle. How awesome is that?
He was a badass, man. He was like always a bad guy on the Green Hornet.
To pay money for the year. But yeah, it was great. We're going to call Jessica Penn. Is it Penny or Penn? We're going to find out.
I think Penny is the pasta.
Penny is the pasta.
I love to eat pasta.
It's P-E-N-N-E. So is it?
Yeah, it's Penny.
Penny. We're going to call her right now. Find out about her life. That was a good interview with Matt Brown. I like that.
I liked it too.
I like how he says he's going to knock out GSP. That's going to make headlines.
That's saying that GSP is going to. It's not saying that GSP is going to lose to Johnny Hendricks. But
oh yeah, that's right. Right. That's going to be. I think.
I'm looking for Johnny in this one.
Really, Johnny over GSP?
I wanted to be.
Look,
we're
American. Right. You root for the American, right? I mean, maybe if you're nationalistic, but I don't know. I mean, is it? I mean, GSP's a great guy. Hendricks called into our podcast. What a great guy.
Yep.
You know, it's hard to. You got a guy who's a better wrestler than GSP, but GSP's got speed.
He does.
Speed kills.
And that jab is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And he's got better kicks. He's got better jiu-jitsu. And he's got better, quicker hands, whereas Hendricks
has. Cardio is pretty.
Hendricks has. He has more pop, more power, and better wrestling. But GSP might have better wrestling for MMA. But it's hard to say a guy's got better wrestling for MMA when the other guy's a four-time All-American, two-time national champion, and a runner-up, and a four-time high school state champion. I mean, that's, you know, it's tough. It's a tough call. That's going to be a great fight. And Chael might fight on that undercard. You know nice. That? Chael's looking for an opponent on the undercard.
Really?
Yeah, he said he wants to fight. First he called out Vanderlei. And Vanderlei said, Chael, you a butt face.
He said that.
He said, you a butt face. And then Chael peed on his car, on Vanderlei's car.
No, he didn't.
Did, I swear. Look on the underground. Chael peed on Vanderlei's car. And then Chael, I don't even know how he even got to Vegas to pee on his car. Maybe he put a sign that said Vanderlei's car, but it said Vanderlei's car. And then Machida got thirsty. No, but he peed on the car. And then Vanderlei went on Instagram and photoshopped a picture of Anderson Silva beating up Chael, but with his head, with Vanderlei's head. Which the most surprising thing of that is that Vanderlei knew about Instagram.
Right.
The whole thing is becoming comical. And then Machida said, I'll fight Chael, I'll fight you in any parking lot. Which I wrote on Twitter. It has to be in the U.S. because I don't have cars in Brazil, according to Chael. But but yeah, I mean, that's gonna be who wins, Chael or Vanderlei? I say Chael. I think he grinds him out wrestling. I don't think he submits Vanderlei. He doesn't want to stand with Vanderlei.
Yeah, he doesn't. He would definitely wouldn't stand a chance with the Pride Vanderlei.
Yeah,
but now.
But this is TRT Vanderlei.
Right.
This is TRT Chael. It's a TRT championship.
Chael's on it.
Chael wins that fight.
Yeah.
Chael versus Vitor. In Brazil, Vitor. In Vegas, Chael. We're gonna call Jessica right now. Hey, is this Jessica?
Yes.
Is it Jessica Penny or Jessica Penn?
Penny.
Like the pasta.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
We are talking to the first ever Invicta Atom Weight Champion. Hello.
How's it going?
How are you? Now, I have to say, I am very impressed with you, Jessica. Not on your last fight, on your amazing photo shoot with Tracy Lee. Your butt looks amazing.
Thanks.
Oh my God.
Are those posted anywhere that
yes.
I can see them?
Yes. You got to see these T-Rex. We met at a Mayhem's party, right?
Yes, we did. He got your dog to bite him in the face.
Yes, you were there with my he threw candy and hit my dog with candy.
Poor defenseless rescue dog.
Yes.
He has
to come in,
you know?
Yes.
What kind of dog is this?
I have it's a half Chihuahua, half Jack Russell, and it's like totally like sad, and like I rescued it, and then Mayhem threw candy at its face, and then went over to it, and he was throwing these little fireworks, these little like the snaps at it,
whimper snappers.
Yeah, and then
we were having a little snap fight with each other. This thing stings.
Yeah, you're right. And then what happened was, first, like, my dog bit Mayhem's dog, and then Mayhem's threatened my dog. It's like, don't you dare, blah, 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 this is my house. And then my dog took
Was he being serious?
Yeah, then my dog took a poop in Mayhem's kitchen.
He's like, all right, I won't bite your dog, but I'm going to dump in your kitchen.
Yeah, he took a poop in the kitchen, and then, which made me, Mayhem, and Christoph laugh our asses off, because Mayhem, my dog was like, really? You think you're going to threaten me? Right. I used to fight pit bulls for a living, right. And I'm a chihuahua, so he took a shit in his kitchen, and then Mayhem threw candy at his face, and then my dog bit Mayhem in the face, giving him like a big, like a little scar, actually.
Nice.
So I
think he did stitches, honestly. Like, he could have had a couple.
Yeah. So I think my dog actually won that fight against Mayhem.
I mean, once he took a dump in the kitchen, he won. It was over.
I met you, Jessica, you were the most assuming, polite. Like, I thought you were like a librarian or something. You you definitely have, like, number one, you don't seem like a fighter. I mean, you don't carry yourself. You carry yourself with, like, extreme class. I'm actually showing Todd Rex your picture of your butt as we speak.
I apologize for drooling on
and
your
butt. If you show, like, someone in my fight, like, my butt kind of just,
I don't care about that.
Overshadows the fact that I fight.
Yes. So, nice. Now, how's it going? How's everything going? How's training? How's life? Talk to me.
Everything's going great. I don't know when my next fight is, so I'm kind of just training to keep myself busy, because if I don't train, I don't know what to do with myself. So I just got done helping some training partners with their fights, and I have one coming back in because she has a fight coming up. So just staying busy, trying to get better and always improve.
Now, are you still training over at Rain?
Yeah, that's my home gym.
Nice. So now, do you train with the men or the women over there?
I train with both. Actually, before my last camp was kind of the first time that I actually had consistent female training partners to train with, and it made a huge difference. But before that, I would always train with the guys, and it made it kind of difficult to transition in the fights, just because you're used to such like a different body type and size and weight and all that kind of stuff. So it was really nice having consistent females to train with. But normally, I've always had to kind of train with the guys, and I'm pretty small, so
yeah. What weight do you walk around at?
None of your business. No, I'm just kidding. I just actually got asked that today, and I totally freaked out on someone because I'm feeling a little chubby. So,
so you fight at 105, you walk around at like 115.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of fluctuated between like, I don't know, 115, 118. I've been trying to get a little bit heavier. So actually, before my last fight, I got up to like 120, 121, which is pretty big for me.
Gross.
I know, huge, right? Kidding.
Now, but I mean, was that a hard cut? Because you're like a small, petite girl. Was that a hard cut to lose 15 pounds?
No, it's actually, it's not. I prepare pretty well. This last cut, I actually, I was 0.1 off, which is ridiculous to me. But they took away the official scale and they moved the weigh-in. So I couldn't find a scale, and I ended up finding like one of the little digital ones, and they don't read like 0.1. Right. They just read, 0.2, 0.4, that kind of thing. So I thought I was on, and I got on the scale and I was pissed. But it's not like a whole lot of fun going to 105, but I mean, I get there. You just have to prepare well, and it's a little bit more difficult for females to cut weight than it is guys. So you just really have to prepare.
Now, you had a huge fight two fights ago against the Karate Hottie, who is also also a real beautiful girl. It was a battle. It was a battle.
I'm pretty sure I was winning that fight, so it really wasn't a battle.
Right, you were winning. I'm not going to argue. I'm actually more nervous about talking to her than Matt Brown. Yeah, you were winning that fight, and then you just got caught with an armbar. To lose that fight, but it was a very close fight. Do you want a rematch with the Karate Hottie?
Oh yeah, I want one right now. I mean, I went into that fight, like I fought to that fight and the fight before that when I won my belt, with a pretty bad injury that required surgery, and I'm pretty stubborn and just kind of like didn't want to have surgery. So I thought I could get through one more and then take a little rest and have the surgery, but I really shouldn't have gotten into that fight, but I'm super stubborn and competitive. So I wasn't able to train properly before that fight. So I'm almost back to health. I had surgery right after it, and I rehabbed up until my last fight. And I was at about 80% before my last fight with McAuley. So I'm trying to get towards 100, and I want my rematch, like, right now. She's had it long enough. It's ridiculous.
Now, I know for me, like, when I used to wrestle in high school, like, I took it very seriously. I was, you know, four-time New England prep school champion. But if I lost a wrestling match, I would lock myself in a room for, like, a week or two until I won. I was, like, depressed. I wouldn't talk to anybody. Do you go through the same thing?
No, I mean, after that happened, it was kind of funny. Like, I just kind of reacted, and I was like, oh, shit, that's what I get for not training. So, I mean, I kind of, you know, I had a little bit of a grieving process. Like, that night, I was just like, I can't believe I did this to myself. I know it was all my fault, and I have to, you know, live with that. And I honestly, like, even though losses are tough, I feel like my biggest gains have come from losses, because I really look at myself and, you know, kind of reevaluate and try and see how I can get better. So I think all of my biggest, like, growths have come from my losses, and I think it just makes me that much better. So as long as I look at it that way, I mean, yeah, at first it really sucks, but in the long run, I know that I'm going to be better for it, and I already am better for it.
Now, how does a girl like you get into fighting?
You know, they told me I couldn't wrestle in high school, and I was, like, really pissed off about it. So after high school, a couple years after high school, like, I saw a fight on TV, and I really wanted to do it. I always kind of wanted to get into, like, grappling or some sort of combat sport, but I was always super kind of shy, and I'm a pretty reserved person, so it takes me a while to like, actually do things.
Right.
But I got into it. I just I started taking like cardio classes at LA Boxing, just trying to get my feet wet and trying to see if I could meet someone, because I really didn't know where to go or, you know, who to get with. And then through there, I made a connection with Jeremy Williams over at Apex in Mission Viejo. And then through there, I kind of you know, started grappling and training. I just fell in love with it. MMA and training has just been like an extremely positive influence in my life, and it's really changed me as a person. And
wait, Jeremy Williams, the boxer?
No, the late Jeremy Williams. He actually is no longer with us. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, that's a pretty amazing story. Someone who started, like, because a lot of times, like, a girl like Misha Tate or Rhonda started when she was four, and Misha Tate was a high school wrestling champion, and same with Kat Zingano, state champion. So, I mean, you got a late start in the game, and to be as ranked as high as you are, it's amazing.
Thank you. I always looked at it as I never really had confidence before because of that. I mean, I'd always played sports and always been competitive, but I always looked at everybody else as like, oh, this person, you know, did judo, this person did this, and this person did that. Like, they're so much farther ahead of me. But at the same time, I feel like I'm one of those first-generation MMA people that really just, like, trained everything. And, yeah, it's taken a while to, you know, get good at everything. But I feel like I'm really well-rounded, and I feel like I have an advantage because of the way I started.
Right.
And I mean, everything, I really do feel like everything happens for a reason, and I was meant to start at that time. And yeah, I wish I had started earlier, started in one discipline, but everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
Do you spar with Chael or Munoz or Ellenberger?
Oh yeah, I mess them all up.
Really?
Actually, Mark was sparring with me today. Jake is also like, really supportive and always works with me. I mean, obviously they're not, you know, throwing the Donkey Kong and King Kong punches that they do, but they're really awesome and supportive, and I feel so lucky and fortunate to have met them and be able to train under them.
Now,
really awesome guys.
Now let's get into the questions everybody wants to know about. Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
So you're single. Do you like men?
Do you have a girlfriend?
Do you go for men or women?
I go for men.
Yes. Okay.
My dad gets asked all the time if I'm a lesbian, poor guy. Like, I played softball through high school, always asked if I was a lesbian, and then, like, in fighting, first question they ask is she a lesbian, and he gets really frustrated.
So how come you don't have a boyfriend? I mean, do guys get intimidated when you tell them you're a fighter?
Honestly, like, I live and breathe training. Like, I don't really have a very active social life, and if I even went out, like, I wouldn't choose to, like, socialize or try and, like, pick up on guys outside of that. And, like, inside the gym, you really don't want to, like, hang out with, like, and, you know, date your training partners. It's kind of weird. And besides that, like, I just, the guys that I meet, I feel like I can beat them up, or they're fighters and I'm not trying to, like, beat them. So,
you're kind of stuck. I think you have to go for comedians.
Yeah, it's actually really difficult, because I'll meet somebody that'll be super nice and, you know, they'll kind of, you know, try and pursue me, and then I think that they're, like, a puss, because I kind of relate, like, masculinity with athleticism and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, yeah.
So do you have a lot of fanboys that hit on you?
No, I have some really nice, supportive people that give me compliments, but nobody, like, is inappropriate or anything like that.
So when was the last time that you actually, like, got down with the guy? How long?
Too long to mention.
Really? So like, okay, so you haven't had any intercourse in, like, a year?
Not a year, but I've gone that long, actually.
Intercourse. Yeah.
So, okay. So you haven't had... So it's been, what, 8 months since you have relations with a guy?
It's been a while.
So you must be extremely... You must be extremely horny right now. No? I mean, you must be...
Like, I mean, that's why I have to train all the time. I got to get it out somehow. Like, I have to, like... you know, punch and kick and submit something.
So what are your thoughts about maybe having a guy who's a comic and using him to get some of your urges out?
It depends. Like, if, like, he can make me laugh, but I mean, I may still want to, like, punch him and beat him up, and then I wouldn't be attracted to him because I could beat him up.
I have good wrestling skills. Okay, I
didn't know that about you.
Yeah, well, there's a lot you don't know about me. All right. So we're going to have a date.
He's joining.
All right. So we go on a date. Now, how many dates is it going to take me to maybe get some action?
I mean, that just kind of depends. I don't have, like, a set number, but... it's definitely not going to be, like, in the first, second, or third.
Oh, geez.
I have to figure out if I like you. Because if I like, hook up with somebody before I know them and then I hate them afterwards, like, I'm just going to be really upset with myself. And
you have way too high morals. This is not good. So
can't you just use it for sexual gratification?
T-Rex, we have to clean this up. We have to, like, we have to say things without saying them. That's like our, like, new rule. Okay. So,
did you get in trouble?
Yeah, we're trying to go more corporate. So we have to say things without being so graphic. So, all right.
Good luck.
So thank you very much. So Jessica Penny has not been on a date in 8 months. She's only slept with a handful of men in her life.
She's pent up.
And she's pent up. She's aggressive. she wants a guy who can kick her ass. Not actually kick her ass, but is able to kick her ass. Who's not a girly guy, but who's not a fighter. Correct?
And who doesn't wear, like, tight hipster pants. I want to beat people up for doing that. That's ridiculous.
And no.
Basically, you just described me.
Yeah, and no hipster pants. I like it. Now, okay, our final question. Who do you want to win, Misha or Rhonda?
I don't know. I'm really excited for the rematch. I'm really excited, like, to see, you know, the season, like, the reality show. I think it's just going to be, like, crazy hilarious to watch. So I'm just really excited about it.
Oh, that was not, like, that I was really the worst like answer ever gotten. Right. Have you trained with Rhonda?
I've actually never met her, but I think she's friggin' awesome. I'm really excited about that fight.
Nice. Okay. And now, what do you think about Cyborg versus Rhonda?
You know, I have seen Cyborg in the gym. We have the same boxing coach. So I see her train, and she is, like, a crazy hard worker, super, super nice chick. But she's a beast, and I would love to see that fight.
Who do you think wins?
I don't know. I think it'd be really, really exciting. On one hand, like, Rhonda is super technical and she's an Olympic athlete. So, I mean, she has, like, you know, the competitive edge and she is just great at what she does. But then on the other hand, you have Cyborg, who is just, like, crazy strong and just aggressive. And a lot of people can't keep up with that pace. So I think that would make for a really crazy, exciting fight.
Nice. Well, you've heard it here. Jessica Penny, you've been a great sport. those pictures are amazing of your butt. You are an amazing fighter. Thank you for coming on our podcast. And once again, if it goes to be a year and you still need a guy, call me. I am part of the team.
You're a team player. Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I am a team player. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Well, that is our podcast. We're going to take a break next week because I'm going to be in Singapore, Bahrain, and Diego Garcia for the U.S. military doing shows.
Good cause.
Where are you going to be in this week?
I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach this week.
Yes. Thank you for listening to our podcast. You guys have been great. And keep following MMA Roasted on Twitter. And you guys have been great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.